Shalom. Today's Daf Yomi is Sanhedrin Daf Lamed, Sanhedrin 30, and the Gemara is discussing cases where a litigant has admitted he owes money to another person, and still, even though he's admitted it, his admission for one reason or another is not accepted. And so in this context, the Gemara raises another case about a person who has a dream that he owes money to somebody else. So the case of the Gemara is Hare Shahayim Mitzdar Al Mal Shehiniacho Aviv. So there was a person who was in orphan, meaning to say his father had died, and the person was upset because he knows that his father had left him money, but his father didn't say where the money was. And then what happened was the Baal HaChalom came. There's a dispute amongst the Rishonim, what does the Baal HaChalom mean? Rashi says it means that there was an angel who was in charge of dreams that you had at night, or else the alternative is that perhaps the person's father came to him in a dream. And in the dream, the person in the dream who visited him said, Amar lo kach v'kach hein, b'makom poni hein, you have indeed, your father has left you this amount of money, and he told him the exact amount of money, and it's in this specific place. However, shall Meiser Sheni hein, this money belongs to Meiser Sheni, meaning to say it was money that was designated to be part of the secondary tithe, which was supposed to be in Jerusalem in the first, second, and fourth, and fifth year of the seven-year Shemitah cycle. And so therefore, that money would not be permitted to be used for any other purposes than Meiser Sheni money. And so therefore, it's a limitation on this money. So what is the rule under those circumstances? And indeed, the money was found in that specific place, and it was indeed the exact amount. So the Talmud says, Zehaya Maisa, this was indeed a ruling. The Amru, this incident happened, and the sages said, Divrei Chalomos Lomawin Vulmaridin, that the words of the dreams, we do not give any credence to them. Lomawin Vulmaridin, they do not go up or down, meaning to say that even though the money was there and it was the exact amount, nevertheless we say that there is no dream that does not have Dvarim Betelim, there is no dream that does not have aspects of it which are not accurate, and so therefore we do not have to assume or even be concerned that that money is Meiser Sheni money. And the reason why we don't have to be concerned about that is because every dream, this is how the Torah Chaim explains it, every dream has Dvarim Betelim, has some aspects of it which are not true. And so therefore we would say that under these circumstances, the aspect of the dream that's not true is the fact that this money is Meiser Sheni money. And so therefore, we do not have to be concerned, and the person could use the money for his own purposes. The point here is that the Gemara could have said that the incident might have been that this money belongs to somebody else, but it's not that. We would have known, it would be obvious that if the money the person who came to him in the dream said, "There, here's the money, and it belongs to this and this person," well, then it would have been obvious that you don't have to give the money to that other person, because we have a principle on motzi michaver olavaraya, that if you want to take money from somebody else, you need to bring a proof for it. And here, this person is not able to be proved from a dream that other money belonged to him. So it's obvious that under those circumstances, we wouldn't have to be concerned. But Meiser Sheni, secondary tithe money, that's a prohibition, that you're not allowed to use money that's designated for Meiser Sheni. And still under these circumstances, where it's Meiser Sheni money, we still do not say that the person who had the dream must take this money and bring it and use it in Jerusalem, and we don't require him to be strict about it, but rather we say, well, malin v'omoridin, that we don't have to be concerned about this dream. This idea that we don't have to be concerned about an isur is not necessarily accepted by all the poskim, because the Tashbitz was once asked a question about the following situation, that there was a person who had a dream, and the dream was that if the community will not all fast on a specific day, then everybody will be excommunicated. And so they came and they told the dream to the rabbi of the place, and the concern was that you're going to be excommunicated from Shemayim, that from heaven, that if we don't all fast on this day, then God is going to look at us in disfavor. And so they came to the rabbi of the community, and the rabbi of the community sent this teshuvah to the Tashbetz. And so there, the question is, the Tashbetz says, what do we do about such a circumstance? Because we know that there are many places in the Shas, in the Talmud, where we're concerned for trees. In other cases, we're not. We say in Divrei Chalomos, L'malan v'l'moridin, that we don't have to pay attention to them. Like in this case, even where was the exact amount of money in the specific hiding place, we still don't have to pay attention to it. So the Tashbetz tries to bring a distinction between whether or not something is money that we want to take from somebody else, and under those circumstances we do not use a dream to give credence to it, or whether it's something we want to be strict about, something whether it's permitted or prohibited. And there he says that perhaps we should be concerned about it. However, he himself brings an incident where he said that 20 years ago a person had a dream, and this person said that as part of his dream, the community has to make three fasts, a Monday, Thursday, and Monday. And the Rivash was very concerned about this. And so the Rivash indeed made a decree upon everybody that they have to fast three times. And the community was so upset about having to fast three times that people didn't even want to come to the shul for mincha on those days. And so they had a problem getting a minyan for mincha. And in the end, it turned out that the guy who said he had this dream was a bad guy. And so this is part of the danger of basically upon ourselves about the dream of somebody else. Nevertheless, the Emek She'ela says that if we follow the Tashbetz's approach, and not like the Rivash who says we have to be careful, but like the Tashbetz who says that if it's in a matter of permitted or prohibited, we should be strict. He says that if you have a dream that you have a piece of meat in your house and you dream that it's not kosher, he would say that you should be strict under those circumstances. Indeed, that is what many people take upon themselves, but from a perspective of pure law, it is not required.